Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis. The text is Revelation chapter 17, verses 1 through 18. The Reverend Philip Krupski is preaching. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from Revelation chapter 17. Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls came and said to me, "Come, I will show you the judgment of the great prostitute who is seated on many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed sexual immorality, and with the wine of whose sexual immorality the dwellers on earth have become drunk. And he carried me away in the spirit into a wilderness, and I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast that was full of blasphemous names, and it had seven heads and ten horns. The woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet and adorned with gold and jewels and pearls, holding in her hand a golden cup full of abominations and the impurities of her sexual immorality. And on her forehead was written a name of mystery, Babylon the Great, mother of prostitutes and of earth's abominations. And I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints, the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. When I saw her, I marveled greatly. But the angel said to me, 'Why do you marvel? I will tell you the mystery of the woman and of the beast with seven heads and ten horns that carries her. The beast that you saw was and is not and is about to rise from the bottomless pit and go to the destruction. And the dwellers on earth whose names have not been written in the book of life from the foundation of the world will marvel to see the beast, because it was, and is not, and is to come. This calls for a mind with wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman is seated. They are also seven kings, five of whom have fallen. One, the other has not yet come. And when he does come, he must remain only a little while. As for the beast that was and is not, and it is an eighth, but it belongs to the seven, and it goes to destruction. And the ten horns that you saw are ten kings who have not yet received royal power, but they are to receive authority as kings for 1 hour, together with the beast. These are of one mind, and they hand over their power and authority to the beast. They will make war on the Lamb, and the Lamb will conquer them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and those who with him are called and chosen and faithful. And the angel said to me, 'The waters that you saw, where the prostitute is seated, are peoples and multitudes and nations and languages. And the ten horns that you saw, they and the beast will hate the prostitute. They will make her desolate and naked, and devour her flesh and burn her up with fire. For God has put it into their hearts to carry out his purpose by being of one mind and handing over their royal power to the beast until the words of God are fulfilled. And the woman that you saw is the great city that has dominion over the kings of the earth.'" O Lord, have mercy on us. In the name of Jesus Christ, dear friends, there weren't a lot of volunteers for preaching this morning for some reason. And Sandy always has a way to make me feel guilty so that I'll do it. So I share with you again just verse 14, just to help us understand the gospel context that this falls in. They will make war on the Lamb, and the Lamb will conquer them. For he is the Lord of lords and King of kings, and those with him are called and chosen and faithful. In the name of Jesus Christ. This chapter, Revelation chapter 17, begins a three-chapter saga that ends ultimately with final victory. Yet it begins here with this dreadful picture, a picture of all kinds of awful things that we really would not want to look at. There's so much imagery and symbolism within this chapter that it would take hours to plow through all of that, and I don't get the opportunity to do that this morning. But just in a general way, Babylon is obviously chosen for this vision by God because of Babylon destroying the temple and taking God's people away into that 70-year captivity that we read of in the Old Testament. Whereas the first beast of the book of Revelation and embodied all of anti-Christian power, the anti-Christian power of the dragon, of Satan. And whereas the second beast was the center of anti-Christian propaganda speaking against Christ, now this prostitute or whore of Babylon represents all anti-Christian empire power. It's this anti-Christian empire that rises up as we draw near to the end of all time. And in her hand is that cup that from which she drinks and gets drunk, and all of the abominations that flow from that, which are very typical of all of the abominations that have always flown from anti-Christian empires. Along with all the things like ungodly philosophy or music or science or enlightenment in our day, we probably would add the name wokeness to that list of things that are in that abomination cup. And yet, strangely, despite the fact of this horrific vision that is in front of John, somehow he's captivated by the whole thing. He's marveling at this image that's in front of him. It's almost as if it's one of those moments in life where there's something in front of you that you know you really shouldn't want to be looking at, but you can't help it. Like boxing, when somebody's just being torn apart and everybody's excited about it. Or people chasing down ambulances and wanting to see what the gruesome details are of what is there. That is John's fascination with this woman of Babylon and all of the horrendous things of the beasts and ultimately of the dragon of Satan that is before him. This woman seems to have a mysterious, attracting appearance. Dressed in the purple, begoldened with gold is the words there, and adorned with pearls. All of the things from the time of John that would indicate that she is worth attention. Nonetheless, this reading helps us understand that this woman is the mother of abominations, responsible for the martyrdom of the Lord's saints, the witnesses to Jesus. And that cup from which she herself gets drunk is full of all of those abominations by which she makes the world drunk with love and infatuation with those same abominations. As we read through this chapter, it's incumbent for us to hear the words of the angel who said to John, "Why do you marvel?" Despite the fact that our spirits know better, and our minds that have been enlightened by God's word and filled full of all of the good things of Christ through the word, somehow our minds that should be shuddering at the presentation of evil in the world, sometimes our minds, our hearts, begin to marvel at it all. And in a strange way, we become impressed with the things that are abominations. We fall to the enticement. We see the power and the grandeur and the pomp and the circumstance that is associated with this entitlement of power. And deep down, maybe sometimes we get tired of being the weak ones. Maybe we'd like to be the ones who are in control and who can execute that power in order to cut off those who oppose us. The entitlement is strong, or the enticement is strong. And this enticement is not only an enticement for the youth of our culture, who might be being pulled away through all of the means and mediums that are present in their life, but it's present for the mature as well. It is very similar to the temptation of Jesus when Satan took Jesus up and showed him all of the nations of the world, and in the best Price is Right kind of voice said to Jesus, "These two can all be yours if the price is right." But we know what that price was. Bow down to Satan, and all these can be yours, but that was just an illusion, a diversion from the cross. Fortunately for us, God is faithful. He's faithful to speak His word to us and bring us back to Himself, just as God was faithful to speak through that angel and bring John back to Himself. The Lamb will conquer everything that you see, all these enticements. The Lamb will conquer them, for He is the Lord of Lords and King of Kings, and those with Him are called and chosen and faithful. Called by the gospel, chosen before time, and now as a result, faithful to God through Jesus Christ. The beast upon which this woman rides is the one who was, is not, and is about to be. And certainly as we think about this beast from God's timeless, eternal perspective, as the book of Revelation would mandate for us to do, of starting to see things outside of time, we can see that this beast displaying the power of Satan, the dragon, this beast was Satan himself as the angel who was kicked out of heaven. He was, and then he was not, is not. And that relates directly to the words of the Apostles' Creed when we say that Jesus descended into hell. Why? To go and proclaim the victory of the resurrection over Satan himself. So this beast who was, who is not, but is about to be. Pointing again to the mustering of satanic forces and delusions that come up as we march ever closer to the time of the end of the age, of the final return of Jesus, when He comes back to rescue all those who are His, but to take the dragon and the beasts and the earth dwellers, all those who have rejected Christ, and to throw them into the lake of fire. The fact that we can say that this beast was, is not, and will be again should not somehow delude us to thinking that we have nothing to fear about the power of Satan or the means, the beasts, the woman of Babylon, by which he carries out his evil practice. We naively throw ourselves into great risk when we ignore the power of Satan and all of his means and methods. We can't forget 1 Peter chapter 5 when Peter said, "Be aware, for your adversary, the devil, prowls around like that roaring lion looking for someone to devour." That's this image that we really see here in Revelation 17. But as we see the power and the bravado of the world, we keep on reminding ourselves that our rescue, our salvation, is found not in trying to go toe-to-toe with Satan, trying to match his power at every step, thinking that with our own grasp of grandeur and power and manipulation and force that somehow we can defeat Satan. Our rescue is always and only found in Jesus. It's only found through his cross, through which he set us free from the chains that bound us to slavery to Satan. Our victory and resurrection hope is that rescue that we have that even the sting of death, the worst tool that Satan has been defeated. And we live even now in that victory of life because we have been called and elected and chosen by God so that we can be those faithful who are partakers of God's kingdom. Lest we become distracted, we need to remind each other of this truth. When we see one another getting sort of excited about the things of this earth and the way the earth would measure what is great, we need to remind each other not to be impressed with evil things, but to bring one another back to the most precious thing that we have, which is the gospel, the sweet peace that is ours in Jesus. We go to the table and we receive the body and blood of Jesus and are strengthened again for the battle. And one day that woman in purple and gold and pearls will have her mask ripped off. Much like you could imagine in the worst horror movie where sort of at the end of the storyline, this character that has been doing all of this horrible stuff, the mask is ripped off and revealed in just the most gruesome grave-like appearance where all the flesh has been decayed. The end will reveal that woman in that kind of absolute truth. But we, adorned in our resurrected bodies, won't live in the danger anymore of the powerful delusions. But until that day, hear the admonition of the angel. Why do you marvel? Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, may it guard and keep our hearts and our minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for Chapel. Today we pray for Chaplain Stephen DeMick, who has deployed. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces, visit kfuo.org/chapel.